Welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do rather than what they cannot do. My name is Stephen W. Nurse. I have been a longtime teacher, and this is our series on service animals and service dogs. And today we're going to interview a person. His name is Jerry Tribblecock, and he's a quality assurance manager in the aviation industry and also does web development. And he has a service dog whose name is Indy. So, Jerry, tell me, first of all, what does a quality assurance manager do in the aviation industry? That's my first question, which has nothing to do with dogs.
Basically, quality assurance in aviation is kind of the organization that oversees all aspects of product development, product verification. We ensure that all processes are documented and followed to ensure the most safety products that can be produced.
When I'm flying, you're the guy that makes sure the plane stays in the air. Is that correct?
We make sure that the processes that were followed by the people that developed the product.
Right.
Followed every process so the aircraft would stay in the air.
The bolts are the right size, and when the plane takes off, it doesn't rattle too much. And now you live in Gig Harbor,
Port Orchard.
Okay, Port Orchard. Okay, so just south of that bustling town of Bremerton, correct?
Yes. Correct.
Okay. Well, let's start out. You mentioned, and you and I have both gone through the same agency, Prison Pet Partnership Program, mm-hmm. to get service dogs. But yeah, I think you mentioned to me that you've had service dogs before you went to Prison Pet Partnership.
Yes. And I'll kind of give you a little brief history on the whole thing. So basically, in August of 1989, I was in an auto accident, which I got a spinal cord injury and it left me a quadriplegic. At that time, I actually worked construction, but I knew I couldn't go back to that, so I went to school and got my computer engineering degree, and I have since received my MBA as well. When I was going to school, I met some individuals that had service dogs, and I could see at that point that one could be very helpful to me. So once I graduated, I may have went the wrong path, but I actually went and got a puppy, a golden retriever. And then I went to a trainer, and we trained the dog. It took us a couple of years, and I had her for about 12 years. So she wasn't the right kind of dog, didn't have the right temperament as you would ideally want a service dog to have, but she worked well for me. So that was my introduction to service dogs, was one that I kind of worked with a trainer to individualize to me, if that makes sense.
Okay. So you had that dog, and that dog retired. My dog's about 12 and a half right now, my older dog, and she's retired. And so then you got that you had one other dog, or did you go right to Prison Pet Partnership from there?
So what happened was, about 10 years ago, as we mentioned a little earlier, my wife and I relocated to Port Orchard here, and we had Obi was her name, and we had her in about 3 years after we moved here. She got really sick and did not pull out of it and actually passed away. And at that time, which was probably 6 years ago, was when I first heard about the Pet Partnership Program. And at that point, I started going through the whole application and process to get connected with a service dog through the Prison Pet Partnership Program.
And so... I think both, I can't speak for you, but it's a wonderful program, and it's a win-win for everybody. The inmates that do the training as well as the dogs. Is Indy a rescue dog, or did they, you know where they got Indy from?
I believe she's a purebred black lab.
Okay.
I do not believe, I hate to say that I don't know for sure, but I do not believe okay. that she's a rescue dog. I believe she was donated to the program.
Uh-huh. And
so it's more of that.
And did you train at the prison for a while with the dog, or did you primarily out in the community?
Actually, both. It was a little over 5 years ago when I first sent in my application, and they had some turnover at the pet partnership. So it took almost 3 years before I really started being placed with any dogs. I met one dog. She didn't work out. There was some problems with her. And then Indy, it was about a little over a year ago. I basically spent 2.5 months from the time that I met Indy when she was brought out to introduce to me and when they placed her with me. So it was about 2.5 months. And that was a combination early on of going out to the prison and meeting with the inmate that was training her and working with her. Oh, it was great. It was great. And then a lot of the last month or so was working with in the public at different locations.
Transit and going into different stores and those kinds of things.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And what types of activities or what types of tasks does Indy help you with around the house or when you're out in the public?
So basically, Indy will open and close doors and drawers either by pushing or pulling, or she can push the buttons to open automatic doors. She also can push the buttons for crosswalks, street crosswalks. She will... And the very key thing for me, since I'm a quadriplegic, and if I drop something on the ground, I am unable to pick it up because I use a power wheelchair for my my mobility, and I have limited use of my arms and hands. So I don't know how many times she's picked up things for me that I'm surprised. She'll pick up anything that I ask her to pick up, from keys to cuffs to paper to even my briefcase if I drop it, to a coat hanger. And that there is the main thing that I'm so, how can I say it? I'm so pleased to have her for, if that makes sense.
Yes. And, I just want to remind anybody that's listening right now, that we're doing an interview on service dogs with Jerry. And, I agree with you. I think for my dog, the main thing she does is retrieve things. I'm in an electric wheelchair too. And I remember one time that she really saved my bacon when she, I dropped my keys in a snowbank and, she just dug right down there and got them out. And, yeah, they're a friend too, aren't they? They're a great companion.
Oh, very much so.
Do you think that Indy, and I have my own opinions on this, but do you think Indy knows your temperament when you're feeling a little down? Yeah.
Yes. And it's kind of interesting. Even when I started working with her at the pen out there, the inmate would have her there and she would see me. This was early on, and boy, she would wag her tail. She was excited when it didn't take long for her and I to connect.
Yeah.
Well, she would wag her tail and then she would be just real responsive. And yes, and I agree with, if I'm not feeling well, she'll lay down at my feet. If, you know, even if I'm not feeling well and I'm in bed, she'll lay down beside me on the floor on the bed. So yeah, I have no doubt that they can feel how I'm feeling, if that makes sense.
It does. My new dog, Maya, she is very fascinated with me shaving in the morning. So she sits on the bath mat there and watches me. And I also believe that the dogs can tell your temperament, can tell me when I'm, you know, feeling a little blue or feeling sorry for myself, which I try not to do too much, but occasionally happens. Can you think of any specific times that she really helped you out in a tough situation?
You reference your keys in the snowbank sort of thing. I'll use a similar. I actually have a van that's been modified that I can drive.
Right.
And so her and I are out and about a lot. I take her everywhere. And there's been at least two occasions that I went to pull out of the van and I dropped my keys on the floor up under where the steering wheel is, where I can't get to them even with a something that I can reach to, a grabber or something. And I've had her get down and grab them for me. And she's grabbed them and handed them to me. And like I said, this has happened at least two times. I would have had to have gotten out, tried to find somebody to grab them. Boy, it's been unbelievable.
Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that, Jerry, because I've done the very same thing where I have a van and I've dropped the keys underneath the steering wheel. And I do have a grabber thing, but sometimes I can't always get them. And she'll go right there. And does she have a pretty soft mouth? Can she pick up paper and that kind of thing too?
Yes. I've had her pick up envelopes and paper and remote controls, my cell phone. And she's the only interesting thing she has done is with my keys. One time I was just playing with her in the house and kind of training with her, and she picked it up and turned on my panic alarm.
Oh,
but that's the only time that she, so she's never bitten anything or anything, but she just bit just enough on that end to where she hit the panic alarm. So yeah. She handed them to me and then I turned it off, but that was the only time that,
yeah.
Other than that, yes, she's amazing.
Very, it is amazing. And, I, you know, and Maya wants to work so much. I teach classes at the university. And one of the things that usually she would stay right in place. And one time I see her, she's climbing underneath the tables. And I just called her back right away. And then I figured out she wants to work so hard that one of the students in the back of the room had dropped a pencil. And by guy, she was going to go back and retrieve that pencil for that student. So I also notice, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but when you're out with Indy and Indy's worked all day, I bet she's tired. They have to remain so alert. Is that true?
It's kind of interesting with her. We have another dog, a beagle, that is, what is she? She's probably 9 years old. Actually had her with the first dog, Obi, that passed away, and then had her since that. So she don't go anywhere with me, but Indy goes everywhere. So when I get back with Indy, once I get her undressed with her collar and stuff, they'll go out and just tear around in the backyard.
Yeah.
We have a big back. It's not that she seems tired. She just seems like she's got a lot of energy built up from working all day, and they'll just tear after each other, tear around, run.
Is that right?
Run. And then she'll lay down and it'll be the end of it, if that makes sense. But she has that built up energy for I would say probably 15, 20 minutes after we get home. I have to get her outside because then she'll try to want to start running around in the house. But it's the other dog that they're just going to want to play. So I get her outside and let her burn off some of that energy.
Does she get along? And Indy gets along well with the other dog. That sounds good too, because I think that's.
We actually have three cats and another dog. She gets along with all of them. Let me know. Yeah, they get along perfectly fine.
And let me ask you this: what are the toughest parts of having a service dog? I know it's great to have a service dog. But there are certain things you really have to pay attention to with any animal. And what would you say are those those key things that you really watch out for with Indy and your beagle and the cats?
Well, with her, you mentioned something about this earlier about them wanting to constantly work. The toughest thing for me is she'll come and just sit and stare at me when I'm like at my desk doing stuff. Like, I want to go do something.
Yes.
And she'll just sit there and stare, and I'll feel guilty because I'm not working. You know, it's one of those things. But you know, I just have her go lay down on her bed or whatever with time. But she'll get up from her bed and come and just sit and look at me and like, let's go play type or let's go work.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that with a service dog, when you have them, you have to be willing to spend a lot of time with them, whether it's you're out and about working or even at home playing fetch or just having them do something because they just like to continuously work.
Yes, I have.
So,
That's interesting. I think the exercising is for the dogs is really important. And I have to tell you, it's harder for me to throw a tennis ball and stuff. So I started looking on Amazon about something that I could use to catapult a tennis ball with. And Amazon wanted me to buy a $6,000 tennis ball thing that shot 100 tennis balls at a time. I thought, well, you know, I love my dog, but I'm not going to spend $6,000. I'd rather have him retrieve it other ways. So, well, listen, Jerry, anything you'd like to say in closing here? And we'll get the information to you so you can listen to yourself on the radio when it's on. And
I'll just tell you, one thing, Stephen, is that it's unbelievable how much better my life is having her because she's just relieved a lot of stress. And when I'm out and about and things, I've thoroughly enjoyed having her as a both as a service dog and as I'll even say as kind of a companion dog, a friend in a way.
Yes,
it's been a very, very nice experience. And I had a real good experience with the pet partnership program.
I'd certainly have to mirror your feelings on that because I feel the same way with my dog. And I think she just called me up on her telephone. So I better get going here. So, Jerry, you take care and have a great day. And thanks for letting us interview you on The Voice of Vashon. Take care. And we'll talk to you later, Jerry.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye. I just wanted to remind everyone that our series of programs is about service dogs, and this is our last program in that series. And I wanted to discuss with you some of the types of topics that we'd like to talk about, that I'd like to talk about in the future. And if you certainly have opinions, we're looking in the area of special education, looking at persons with disabilities. I really want to be very varied in the approach. One time we could talk about assistive technology. This is one area that has improved so much over the years. For instance, for persons who are blind, 20 years ago, you could buy a reader, a machine, a Kurzweil reader machine, and they were about $30,000, and they didn't work very well. Now, that technology is on an iPhone, is on Microsoft products. And so we can look at those upgrades in technology. I'd also like to look at issues with students who have special needs in schools, and how do we respond to that in a COVID environment? Kids that need physical therapy, kids that need occupational therapy, kids that need speech therapy. How do we do that remotely? And I think this is also an issue that needs to be addressed for children whose native language is not English and are doing everything online. One of the areas that's really we're making many improvements in education is the area of learning disabilities. We'll discuss what a learning disability is, how to diagnose it. It's too easy to just say a person has a learning disability. And we used to talk about reversing letters. It's much more than that. Also, we'll talk about behavior disorders. We talk even in our society about de-escalation. And that's what we need to work with children with behavior issues. How do you de-escalate behavior? Autism spectrum. We have children, we have adults on the autism spectrum that are very vocal, very articulate, and that spectrum goes from one end to the other. We're also even going to look at kids that are gifted and talented, because many times the students that are gifted and talented don't also get the special services that they need in public schools. One of the other topics I'd like to address is working with families. I think sometimes when we work with children in schools, we focus on the child, which we should, but we also need to realize that we're also dealing with an entire family. So that's what I hope to look for in the future. Do my research around that. And if you have any suggestions, any ideas that you would like us to put on our programs, I would be more than happy to listen to you. You can reach me at graduate22@comcast.net or through VOV. So thank you for listening to this series, and we'll see you soon.
To stream this or any other episode of Is Abled with Dr. Stephen W. Nurse, go to voiceofashon.org and look under the Shows tab.